You are listening to On The Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Wednesday, October 25th, 2017 NBA edition of On The Daily, brought to you by RotoViz Radio. I'm Matt LaMarca, who you can find on Twitter at Matt LaMarca, and I'm joined tonight by Vince Long, who you can find on Twitter at Wake Work Wake. Vince, how's it going?
Not too bad, not too bad. Avoided Jimmy Butler, avoided Anthony Davis, but landed on Tim Hardaway Jr. and Nikola Vucevic, so it's an interesting night.
Yeah, we're already in midseason form with the injuries and the late inactives and all sorts of stuff like that, so, you know, it didn't take long for NBA to go full NBA on us this year.
Yeah, it's definitely right there, ready to roll.
Well, hopefully tonight's slate will be a little bit better. We've got 10 games. One thing I noticed, a lot of road favorites. I think 8 out of the 10 games have road favorites today, which is somewhat interesting. So take that with what you will. Let's dive right in. We've got Minnesota favored by 1.5 at Detroit, 208-point total. You mentioned Jimmy Butler. He was a late scratch today after lineup lock, hurt a lot of people. No guarantee that he plays in tonight's contest. He's dealing with an illness. So let's talk about the Timberwolves. How are you approaching them on this slate?
I mean, it's obviously it's going to come down to news. Jimmy Butler's price was really, really intriguing on DraftKings, and I understand why a bunch of people had him and had exposure to him. If he's going to stay there, I mean, that's definitely going to be an interesting play. He's probably going to see Bradley on the other side, which isn't really my favorite thing in the world, but I mean, if Jimmy's out, I mean, I think you can go right back to the well with Kat. I think Kat's a great option regardless as to who plays here. I think he's the best option of the bunch. But I mean, with the Timberwolves right now, I'm kind of scared to play anybody but Kat because I just don't see it's tough to predict how it's going to shake out, if that makes any sense. Like Jimmy hasn't been great. Teague has had his flashes, but he hasn't been great. Really just Kat's been the only consistent cog in the wheel. So really, if I'm attacking this game, it's probably going to be on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the usage and stuff looks like tonight without Butler. You know, they all have played a ton of minutes together, so there's really not a lot of minutes to look at on how these guys are doing with Butler off the floor this season. And it's obviously still a very new situation in Minnesota. So it'll be interesting to see if one of Teague or Wiggins becomes like, you know, a higher usage type play with Butler sidelined. Because if Butler misses again, those guys would obviously be on my radar if one of them proved to have a big spike in production. But I'm with you. Towns right now is the guy that's standing out to me. We know that Drummond is vulnerable on the defensive end of the court. Gave up 30 to Embiid the other night in 28 minutes. So I think Towns is certainly capable of lighting him up. And interesting nugget here for Towns. This is the second leg of a back-to-back. He's actually averaged more points, fantasy points that is, on the second leg of back-to-backs than in just regular rest situations. So he hasn't been affected by the back-to-back, and the road back-to-back in particular has been his preferred leg of the two. He's done really well in those games. So I wouldn't be worried about that factor if you do like Towns tonight. All right, let's go over to the Detroit side of the ball. As much as I said I liked targeting Drummond, I think Drummond himself makes for a pretty fine play here tonight as well.
Yeah, I don't mind Drummond. Power forward slash center spots aren't exactly my favorite after going through this slate. So anybody that can offer the kind of upside that Drummond has is definitely in play for me. But the guy that really intrigues me is probably my favorite play from this entire game is Reggie Jackson. He's been playing really well as of late. You got to kind of give that to him. And he's heading into a matchup that has been absolutely trashed by point guards lately. We've seen 15-5-2 to DeJounte Murray, 19-15-10 to Ricky Rubio, 35-5-10 to Russell Westbrook, and 15-5-16 to Darren Collison last night. I think Reggie Jackson is just an incredible mid-range play. I'm probably going to have quite a bit of him.
Interesting. Yeah, he wasn't even somebody that's been on my radar because his minutes haven't really been there. I mean, he played 31 in the last game, but, you know, kind of like how you feel with Embiid. I want my guys that I'm targeting to play more than 30 minutes, ideally.
Well, I'm not paying $8,500 for Reggie Jackson either. So.
Exactly, yes. I'm with you on that. I kind of like Bradley as a bounce back potential spot too. He's down to 5K now on DraftKings. He did play a bunch of minutes in his last game. He just hasn't been able to really get it going in the offensive end of the court. And obviously one thing that we didn't really think about was his rebounding numbers were so good last year in Boston because they were so terrible on the glass. This year his rebounding numbers way down playing next to a guy like Drummond. So maybe that does hurt his overall fantasy production. But I still think at 5K he offers enough upside to warrant some consideration here.
100%. I mean, I've been harping on Avery Bradley all year, and it just hasn't worked out yet. It's coming, though. He's got one of those games in him. He's getting the shot volume. I mean, we're seeing double-digit shot attempts almost every game but the New York game. I like Avery Bradley. We've been over this. I don't need to get long-winded about it. I'm going to keep going back to the well till it hits. I'm kind of pot committed at this point.
I hear you there. And last thing on Drummond, Karl-Anthony Towns last year, worst defensive center in the league in terms of defensive real plus minus. So I think some people might see the matchup and be a little bit scared off of it, but Towns has not proven to be a good defender at the NBA level. He can get blocks and he can get rebounds, but he's not going to provide much of a resistance in the paint for Drummond in this contest. All right, let's move on to the next game. We've got the Houston Rockets -3 at the Philadelphia 76ers, 222 point total. A lot of injuries here. On the Houston side, Chris Paul is still out. The last I heard, he's looking at like a 2 or 3 week injury recovery at this point. Trevor Ariza already ruled out with a foot injury, and Nene is doubtful with an Achilles injury. And then on the Philadelphia side, Markelle Fultz, probable to play, but he is dealing with a shoulder ailment at the moment. I believe he saw only like 16 minutes in their last game, so it wouldn't be a surprise if he's a little bit limited in their next few games as well. Let's talk Houston first. James Harden, I think once we all saw that Chris Paul was going to be out of the lineup, we were all super excited to get James Harden back into our lineups and get, you know, last year production at slightly decreased prices, but that hasn't exactly happened yet. Are you expecting him to eventually revert back to last year's form, or is this sort of the new normal that we can expect from him?
No, I think I expect it to come back. I mean, you got to look at the four games he's played. Yeah, Sacramento, that's kind of a game that we expected more than 50 fantasy points from him. But Golden State, Dallas, and Memphis. Dallas isn't exactly the, you know, defensive stalwart that you want to claim them to be, but they slow it down. They make it a mucky game. So I'm just going to give him a pass. I mean, he's still James Harden, and this could definitely be a game where he finally blows up. So he's definitely going to be on my radar.
Yeah, I'm with you. So you mentioned the matchups. Memphis, Dallas, and Sacramento all in the bottom six this season in terms of pace. So
yeah,
definitely pace down spots for him. The usage has been there. The usage is basically identical to what it's been last season with Paul off the court. He just hasn't had the same assist and rebound numbers that we sort of got accustomed to seeing from him last season. So it'll be interesting to see if those bounce back. He's also only shooting like 70% at the free throw line. That's certainly going to regress in his favor. So I'm still in on James Harden, like you said. I think that eventually the good games are coming. That being said, I don't know if this is the one. Philadelphia has been pretty decent with Embiid on the floor this season. So I may look. There are some other guys that I think I kind of prefer in the same price tier, but I still think Harden obviously has, you know, one of the top ceilings basically at regardless of position.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
All right, anybody else that you're considering here? I think given the injuries, there's probably a few guys we can look at for them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Eric Gordon is kind of a clear-cut guy for me right now. I mean, I think he totaled almost the exact same amount of fantasy points that Harden did in their last game. He's coming out, he's shooting. We've seen him shoot at least 20 times in two of his last three games. I mean, his arms are going to fall off at a certain point. But, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of upside. He is playing incredible basketball right now. He's, you know, it's 6K, 6.9, I think, on FanDuel. That's not exactly what you want to pay for ego, but I really like him in this spot. JJ Redick, I mean, is JJ Redick. So
right.
I'm not really worried about the defensive side. But if Ariza doesn't go, I think the real interesting value play here is PJ Tucker for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on there. I mean, Tucker's been seeing, you know, roughly 28, 29 minutes a night anyway. So now without Ariza, that could get into the low 30s, mid 30s even. I like him. I like Ryan Anderson as well. We've talked about sort of his weird shooting splits, where he shoots like almost 47% from three on the road last season, and then like almost 30% at home. So this being a road game, he's down at 4,200. I could consider him. And then I'm also interested in Clint Capela if Nene is going to sit. You know, he's only down at 6,200, and he's shown to have like close to a 50-point ceiling. So I think the Rockets in general are a good spot to target here. Maybe not Harden again for me, just because he is so pricey at 11,600 on DraftKings. But I think the rest of the team, you can really look to get some value with them tonight.
Are you really super interested in Capela against Embiid? Like, I feel like that's just a terrible spot for him.
I mean, he's going to be on the court against him, right? That's really all I care about with Capela is the minutes. Like, if he's on the floor, I pretty much know he's going to be productive.
Okay.
That's really how I feel. I mean, Embiid obviously is a difficult matchup, but, you know, he can get rebounds and block shots, and we're not really expecting a ton from Capela on the offensive end outside of dunks anyway. So I like Capela here. I do.
Okay. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I just think the 5 to 6K range on DraftKings offers quite a few centers, and I feel like Capela is probably going to be at the bottom of that list for me.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I mean, yeah, it's definitely a tough matchup. I admit that fully.
Yeah.
What about on the Philly side of the ball?
I mean, I think it's kind of just the typical guys. You got Simmons, you got Embiid, and just because of the matchup, pace up, everything, I think Redick is actually in play for me, but he's never a guy that I get super excited about playing.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that. I mean, Embiid for sure is on my radar. He's just doing exactly what he did last season, right? He's playing 28 minutes a game, and he's getting you 40 DK points. So at 8K, I really can't complain about that. One other guy I want to throw into the mix here is Jared Bayless. Since he's dirt cheap, he's literally 4K. He played 32 minutes in their last game. You know, without Fultz seeing many minutes off the bench, I think Bayless is going to play a ton here, and this is obviously a nice pay spot against the Rockets. So I'm in on him, too, as like a punt play.
I think that's a good call, actually.
All right, let's move on to the next game. We've got the Denver Nuggets, favored by 1.5 against the Charlotte Hornets. 212 point total. Injury-wise, Juan Hernan Gomez is out for Denver. He's got mononucleosis. Don't know what that is, but it sounds pretty serious.
Yeah, it sounds pretty badass, right? Actually, is yeah, what it sounds like.
No, I got mononucleosis. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist expected to make his return to the team, which will be a welcome sight since they're still going to be without Cody Zeller and Michael Carter-Williams in this contest. So let's start with Denver. Expectations for the Denver offense were kind of sky high, I think, after what they did last season. But so far, they're only 28th in pace and 18th in offensive efficiency this year. As a result, a lot of these guys are priced down. What do we think here? Like, are they eventually going to break out? Do you think it's just been a stretch where, you know, they've had some relatively tough matchups, and that eventually we're going to see this sort of, you know, high flying, fast-paced Nuggets offense that we saw at the end of last season?
Yeah, I mean, let me preface this entire rant with I'm not super high on the Nuggets offense. I'm not one of those people.
Okay.
They've got a lot of talent. I will admit that. I like Gary Harris. I don't like Jamal Murray in any way, shape, or form. But Jokic is Jokic. And Jokic is going to run this team. And when he does well, the offense is going to do well. That's as simple as it can be. So with him not playing well, the offense is not going to play well. So, I mean, I think it all just boils around him, but at his price point right now, I think you kind of just have to keep going back to that well. So outside of him, I mean, you have a lot of 5K guys, you know, and I don't have a lot to say about the Nuggets just because, like, just not a team that I have on my radar very often, because I don't see what the others see. Please explain to me why they got so much hype. That's what I'm curious about.
Well, last year, this is from Tony East on our preview podcast. So if this is incorrect, blame him. Don't blame me. But last year with Gary Harris and Embiid both starting, they were second in the league in offensive efficiency, and they played at like the seventh fastest pace in the league. So there was a lot of hype that, you know, with those guys starting full time at the start of the year, they could sort of keep that going. I still think they can be a good offense. I mean, they're certainly going to improve in both of those numbers. They've had some relatively tough matchups. They've played the Jazz. They've played the Kings, who we mentioned are like the slowest or second slowest team in the league this season. And they play the Wizards, who, despite having John Wall, aren't exactly up and down pace-wise either. So I think for sure this team is going to improve as the season goes on. And given that their salaries have all decreased, I think there could be some value to target. Again, though, Charlotte is not really a team that I think is like a super pace-up team. Like, if this was in Denver, I'd be more excited about the prospects of rostering these guys. But I think that for sure Denver is a team I'm keeping my eye on. And I think they're going to win someone some money real soon. I just don't know if it's tonight.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the game I'm trying to target very much from either side, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, on the Hornets side, I like Kemba. You know, Kemba has those drastic home road splits, and Denver was very vulnerable to opposing point guards last year. So I could definitely see myself using Kemba at 7,700 on DraftKings. But yeah, outside of him and maybe a little bit of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist exposure, since he's only 4,500, I think that's basically where my plays are going to lie in this game.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that. I mean, there's some guys that are kind of falling into that category of, yeah, if you have the room and that's the last spot you're filling in, like, that's fine. But because I think Millsap could be really, really interesting in this matchup, but it's not like a guy that I'm building around. Like, if I fall onto Paul Millsap, I'm going to be okay with that. But
okay.
It's the same with Jokic. Like, I'm not going to try to build around Jokic either. I do think Jokic, I can't even talk tonight, can tear apart Dwight Howard, though. I think that's actually just not even a contest.
Yeah, it's a terrible matchup for Dwight. I mean, even just from his fantasy perspectives, like, he's not going to really be successful, I would think, given how much time he's likely going to have to spend out on the perimeter guarding Jokic. So he has been great recently.
Yeah, he's been a monster.
But this is not a spot, I think, where you're going to want to target Dwight Howard.
No.
Okay, before we get on to the next game, I just want to mention the RotoViz NBA Pass. You get access to all of our NBA content this season, which is going to be our Plays of the Day article, and a whole bunch of stuff that we've rolled out for this year. Listeners to the podcast can get a 30% discount through the podcast homepage. That's rotoviz.com/NBA podcast. Also, please rate and review the show on iTunes. All right, next game up, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Brooklyn Nets. Cleveland favored by 7 on the road. 227-point total in this one. Only injuries, Derrick Rose still out for the Cavs. J.R. Smith was questionable today but ended up playing, so I'm assuming he will be good to go for tomorrow, assuming that he doesn't get a setback. So I think really the only injury here is Rose, and then obviously on the Brooklyn side, no Jeremy Lin. He's going to be out for the whole year. So I don't know if you saw what Cleveland did today without Rose, but they moved Thompson back into the starting lineup.
Yeah.
And once I saw that, it became just all in on LeBron. If LeBron's going to be playing point guard with Thompson and Love on the floor as two traditional big men, I don't know how you can't take him in this spot against Brooklyn.
Yeah, I had this debate with a buddy of mine in Slack chat. I was not on LeBron, point guard LeBron. LeBron plays point guard every night, so I don't really necessarily say – I don't think it's worth saying that he's playing the point. Like, he runs that offense all the time. Like, Derrick Rose isn't a point guard. Kyrie wasn't
still
really a point guard either.
Those guys are still going to have massive usage differentials when compared to a guy like Tristan Thompson.
Well, obviously, yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, using the point guard LeBron term is how about higher usage LeBron is probably the best way to say that.
Okay.
You know, sure. I mean, yeah, obviously there's guys there that's going to do that. But I don't necessarily think that it's a must. I don't think any guys are a must. Like, heading into this slate last night, Tuesday slate, I wanted one of the New Orleans bigs and I wanted him over LeBron. So I ended up on Boogie, thank God, because Anthony Davis got hurt. But I didn't see that much of a difference. I don't know what LeBron ended up with. I know he double-doubled, but I don't know the actual fantasy point total.
It was a lot.
I mean, but right now DeMarcus Cousins is right around halftime, so I don't know how that ended up. But
yeah,
he's smashing as well. So, I mean, there's ways you can go. Yes, LeBron is a good play. Yes, LeBron is a good play almost every night, but I don't look at anybody as musts.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I'm definitely smashing LeBron here. I mean, it's like the top DFS player, one of the top DFS players right now, in arguably the best matchup in fantasy. So as long as Cleveland doesn't completely blow Brooklyn out of the water, which is always a possibility, of course. I think LeBron is, like, just the safest cash game play around and obviously gives you tremendous upside for tournaments as well. So I think he likely is the highest owned player on the slate tomorrow. So if you want to be contrarian, maybe you look other ways in GPPs, but I'm going to have a very hard time not putting him on my cash game team because I feel like 50 points from him is just a lock.
Well, yeah, let me my bad. Yes, he is a great cash game play. I just think that there are other ways to approach GPPs if you don't want to play him. I don't play a ton of cash games. I never ever talk about that on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So most of my guys that I like or say like aren't must plays, like it's probably either ownership or just lineup construction.
Right, I got you. Like, that makes sense.
Yes, obviously LeBron James is the quickest way to 50 points you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's just a lock, but nothing's ever a must in GPPs for me. Like, I don't smash anybody, so it's just everything's always open for me.
Okay, that's fair. I can stand behind that reasoning. Anybody else on Cleveland that you're looking at? Because really, for me, it's pretty much only LeBron here.
Yeah, I mean, Love is interesting, but I have no interest in Cleveland right now, honestly.
Yeah, the thing for me is that his rebound rate is so much lower when he's sharing the court with Tristan Thompson, which obviously makes sense. So I'm probably looking to target him more once Thompson returns to his bench role.
Yeah, I have no issues with that. I mean, it makes sense. I don't look at Tristan Thompson as like that big of a deal. And Kevin Love pulled down 12 rebounds for the second time this season with Tristan on the court last night. So, I mean, I think the upside's still there, especially against Brooklyn.
Yeah, for sure. All right, how about on the Brooklyn side of the ball?
I mean, obviously I want to say D'Angelo Russell, but he rolled his ankle, so I don't know how tight that's going to get overnight, so it's going to be interesting to monitor that. I think my favorite player from the Brooklyn side might be Caris LeVert, though. Yes. I just think he's offering a ton of upside right now. He had success against Cleveland last season. Mid-range price tag, I just think it's an easy play.
Yep, I love Caris. Really, the only question with him is minutes, and he's been getting roughly 30 a game, so I'm with you there. He's my favorite guy on the Brooklyn side. I think you can play Russell if he's active too, but he is starting to get a little bit pricey. He's up at, you know, almost 8K now on DraftKings, so I don't think that he's necessarily like a must play or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Okay, let's move on to the next game. One of two games tonight with 195 point total. That's going to be the lowest on the slate. We've got the Spurs favored by 3.5 in Miami. A lot of injuries here. Both Kawhi Leonard and Hassan Whiteside already ruled out. Joffre LeVern also out for the Spurs. Meanwhile, Dragic and Dion Waiters are both questionable for the Heat. Dragic is expected to play, but still given the questionable tag. Waiters did not practice on Tuesday, so we'll see what happens there. Even with the injury value, is this a game that you really are finding people to target in?
Not in particular. There's a couple interesting people, but they're both just because of price plays, and that's about it. I mean, it's an ugly game. You're not going to get a ton of fantasy value out of it. If you're going with somebody, it'd probably be a cheap person, honestly. Like, Duante Murray's interesting to me. You know, Olynyk, James Johnson, they're interesting to me. Richardson's interesting to me, but not a ton of guys that I'm definitely not going to have a game stack for this one, that's for sure.
Yeah, that would be ill-advised, I think. I like Kelly Olynyk the most out of those guys you just mentioned. He's averaging 42.7 DK points per 36 minutes with Whiteside off the court this year. So with Whiteside not playing, I think he should be locked into, you know, close to 30 minutes, and he's been pretty productive in that time. So I like him. He is getting a little priced up at this point. I think he's up to he's 5,600 on DraftKings, and I never like targeting guys who are priced up against the Spurs, but I do think that his role is such that I might consider him. I also think I'm going to look at Pau Gasol on the Spurs side. So he has not been playing very many minutes at to start the year, but with no LeVern to join, no Leonard and no Tony Parker still, obviously, too, I think he might get a little bit of a bigger role in this game. He had a usage rate of north of 30% last year without Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard on the court. So I think it's possible that he gets a bigger role, and he can pay off a $5,000 salary in, you know, 26 minutes in this game. So he's somebody that I might consider for GPPs as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue against that. I love Powell. I know the upside Powell can bring. I mean, it is minutes, but you're right. There are some injuries there. He could see, five to six more minutes. It wouldn't shock me. Good price point, though. Great price point.
Right. All right, let's move on to the next game. Indiana Pacers at the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thunder are favored by 14.5 points. This is the biggest spread of the night at the moment. We're still waiting on the spread in the Golden State game, so that's always in play to potentially to knock that off the top spot. But still, OKC, definitely a potential blowout spot with a 14.5 point spread. And then we have a 218 point total. Only injury here, Miles Turner still out with his neck/concussion issues. So given that, are we looking to target anyone here on the Pacers with no Turner, but in a potential blowout spot?
It's tough because of the spread. It really is. But it's a terrible matchup for Depot. I don't love anybody against Westbrook, so Collison's iffy for me. Like, if I'm targeting anybody on Indy, it might be Lance Stevenson for GPPs.
Wow, Lance. But,
I mean, that's scary as hell in its own right. So, really, I only like one player from this game, and it's on the OKC side. So, if you got some Indy guys, shoot them at me, because I'd love to hear it.
Well, are you still buying Domantas Sabonis, or is he too expensive for you now?
I don't care about his price. I care about the fact that Steven Adams is on the other side of the ball.
Okay, that's fair. That's a fair point. He has been super productive with Turner off the floor. He's averaging over 35 DK points per 36 minutes. So I still might consider him, but I do hear you that it's a brutal matchup. And, you know, after my big thing with Oladipo on the last show, I have to stick to my brand and throw him out. So
against Roberson and Paul George?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, that's fine.
32.5% usage rate with Turner off the floor this season. So that's a tremendously high usage rate for a guy who's only 7,200. 7,200 for me is like a fair price for him still. So I also think you have to put the revenge game narrative on the table. You know, you have to put it on the table here. So I like Oladipo. If he's going to be, you know, somebody that people are scared off on the matchup, that will only make me like him a little bit more for GPPs.
I'm going to let you have that one. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, absolutely no interest in him whatsoever.
We've seen Paul George and Roberson swallow guys defensively. So I hear the concerns, but I like just the all-around game that he brings, you know, the assist, points, and defensive stats upside. All right, so who's your play on the Thunder side?
I mean, Steven Adams is definitely going to be somebody that I'm going to have a fair amount of exposure to. Against Sabonis, he's been a monster outside of one game this season.
Yep.
Adams has turned into quite the center. You know, obviously he was part of the James Harden trade, so it's nice to see they got something out of it. But I love him. I love his price point. I love the matchup. I wish this game would stay closer, which it likely won't. But who knows? Maybe Melo will come out and go like 3 for 25 and keep the game close or something, and Adams will just gobble up all those offensive rebounds.
It's definitely possible. I like Adams a lot as well. We talk about rebound rates in the among the worst teams in the league last season, maybe even the worst team in the league. So, definitely for sure like Adams. What are you doing with Westbrook? Because he's got pretty big price discrepancy between the two sites. He's 11-4 on DraftKings, which is probably a little too much for me. But on FanDuel, he's 10,600 or 10,800. I don't know how you don't consider him over there.
I mean, yeah, you have to consider him for sure. I mean, obviously, we don't need to explain what his upside brings to the table. But I think it's very interesting because you got guys like John Wall against the Lakers, which I think is going to be the chalk of the night. And if Westbrook's going to be lower owned than Wall and only 600 difference on FanDuel, that's super, super interesting to me because I don't really need Russ for four quarters if, you know, he's going to do what he does. So I think this is a really good matchup for him. I think it's an interesting spot. I don't necessarily know. Like, I would rather play Wall and cash, especially on DraftKings. But for GPPs, I think Westbrook is super sexy because nobody's going to look that way in this game. I don't feel like it's a huge slate. Westbrook will be like 80% owned on the short slates, but on big slates, especially with these added, guys to the roster, I don't see his ownership super high anymore. So it's going to be interesting to me because I'm probably going to want to go to that well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to talk myself into it right now.
You're talking me into it for sure because we already mentioned LeBron, right? He's going to have, I think, pretty crazy ownership.
Yeah.
James Harden certainly out-owns Westbrook. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Wall out-owns all of them, though.
Really?
Including LeBron, yeah.
All right, well, we'll get to that game. I still think LeBron is the top guy, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I think the idea of getting Russell Westbrook at like sub 20% tomorrow is definitely really intriguing. He did put up 24 shots in the last game, which was more than he attempted in his first two games combined. So I think that he's trending in the direction of last season Russ. We'll see if he can keep it up. Again, you just have to worry about the blowout factor here, but that's not something that really ever influences my decisions in GPPs. And it does result in the Thunder having, like, one of the highest implied team totals of the day.
Yeah. So I feel like you're going to have a little mini, like, Depot, Adams, Russ stack tomorrow.
I mean, this game, if everything goes right, it could shoot out. I mean, these two teams, I believe, are playing at decent paces to start the year. Oklahoma City, let me just check it real quick. So Indiana is 6th. OKC is 16th. So... I don't think it's unrealistic to think this game could shoot out. I mean, there are other games that I think I would definitely be my preference if I was going to stack the game, but I don't think you're crazy if you want to load up on it. It might make sense as like a correlation play to run Russ back with someone on the Indiana side and hope that the game stays close.
Yeah, I'm always a fan of running it back, honestly. If you have a stance, stand on it and then, you know, lean into it even more. That's the way I look at it.
Okay, let's move on to the next game. We've got the Memphis Grizzlies. You're a Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, baby.
Favored by 5 points on the road at the Dallas Mavericks. This is game number 2 with 195-point total. I told you were sleeping on them, man.
Hey, man, you know what? I had a conversation at work today, and, you know, people know my stance on the Grizzlies. I'm not shy about it, and I work with a bunch of Grizzlies fans because I live 15 minutes from the Forum. At this point in time, they're making me look really stupid, but it's 3 games into the season, and who cares? You know right. What I'm saying?
Yes.
But they also make me look like a genius because I've been saying trade Zebo and Tony Allen for like 4 years now. So, you know, one way or the other, I'm going to be right in this scenario. But they're peaking too soon, and it doesn't really matter. I'm like, y'all can be as excited all you want. If it doesn't happen in May, you know, it doesn't matter. Like
all the wins are going to matter, though, in terms of playoff positioning. So
yeah, well, you know, that just means are we getting bumped in the first round or the second if we make it? So
listen, as a Knicks fan, enjoy making the playoffs, okay? Enjoy the prospects of maybe outperforming your season expectations and making the playoffs.
I mean, hey, I'll be there, so it is what it is. I hope they do make it because playoff basketball is fun live. I don't know if you've ever experienced it in your 28 years because the Knicks suck, but you know, playoff basketball is fun.
Sadly, I haven't made it there because I mean, since like 2000, they've probably only been there like 3 times. So
yeah, if that.
Anyway, injury wise, Jamichael Green out for Memphis, and Devin Harris is questionable for Dallas. He missed the last couple of games. He did practice on Tuesday. He's got a personal issue, but it doesn't sound like he's a guarantee to play in this contest.
Yeah, his brother died in a car accident, so I don't really know what his situation is. So it's a terrible situation. But
yeah, awful. All right, so speaking of terrible situations, not to make light of that situation, but this game just is not doing anything for me.
Just throw up the red flag. Nobody wants any piece of this game.
Yeah, I mean,
like Marc Gasol might be the only person.
That was the only guy
I'm
I was going to say. Yeah, just like, because of the rebounding potential against Dirk at center. But
this is like a typical Grizzly game, though. So, like, if there's a team that can produce in this style of basketball, it's the Grizzlies. So it's interesting to look at them, but the only person playing well right now is Gasol. I mean, Dylan Brooks was doing things, but then he ruined everybody's lineups the last game, so I don't
I was gonna ask you about him because I was wondering if there was a particular reason why his minutes sort of fell off of a cliff.
I didn't watch the last game, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I didn't watch the Houston game. I had other stuff to do besides watch Grizzly basketball.
That's fine. You're not responsible for all of us in that department.
I mean, he's been playing great, but Fizdale's not afraid to change things up if it doesn't work. And he's a great coach, so I don't ever want to second guess him. You know, we've got some injuries right now. Obviously, McLemore's still not back. Reek isn't 100%. Mm-hmm. He's still going to see the minutes, but it's really just comes down to does the shot fall? Because he gives you a little bit of peripheral stats, but outside of that, I mean, he's not that huge of a fantasy player. And now that he's priced up, I just don't really see the point in going to that well. But, I mean, he's shown that he has the upside, but I don't know if this is the game for it.
Yeah, that's really the thing, is that it's just such a terrible spot. I mean, $3,900 on DraftKings I can get behind. I'm sorry, on FanDuel. FanDuel, he's $3,900.
Yeah.
$4,500 on DraftKings. But
yeah, see, I have no interest at $4,500, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So, yeah, I guess for the most part, this game is just something we're going to look to avoid.
Yeah.
All right.
Make sure you watch it, though, because, whew, it's going to be interesting.
Speaking of interesting, Utah Jazz taking on the Phoenix Suns. Utah is favored by 6 on the road, 203-point total. Eric Bledsoe, just questionable. Not really sure why. He just doesn't want to play for this team, and I guess they're trying to trade him. But, man.
They were trying to trade him to the Knicks.
We had this situation pegged right, huh?
Yeah.
When we were doing our preview podcast,
just
we were
a
like,
hot mess.
Does any situation make less sense than Eric Bledsoe in Phoenix this year? And it literally lasted 3 games for him to try and demand his way out. So,
I don't understand why they got rid of the coach and Bledsoe, though. I figured it was going to be one or the other, if that makes any sense.
I mean, they can get rid of everybody as far as I'm concerned.
And it doesn't matter.
They just redo everything. Yeah. You know, I don't understand why Marquise Chris hasn't been playing until last game when they had the new coach, obviously. But anyway, to not go on to two.
In the game that he started, I got Marquise Chris at 1.8% ownership. It was a good night.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
1.8. Like, did nobody read the notice? They're not starting Dragan Bender. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. Like,
he's just burnt so many people too many times. So Phoenix has been just god-awful defensively. They've lost 2 games this season by 40-plus points already. They're second worst in terms of defensive efficiency this season, and they're obviously playing at a really fast pace. We have to like some guys on the Jazz here, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Gobert is probably going to be the chalk guy, and for good reason. I mean, it's obvious why Gobert is such a good play in this game.
Yep.
But I am personally interested in Ricky Rubio. I love Ricky Rubio in this matchup. We've always known him to be the assist guy. He can give you defensive stats. He can grab boards. But, you know, last season with Minnesota, he only averaged like 8.3 shots per game. He's taken double-digit shots in every game but one so far this season. They're letting him play. They're letting him shoot. He's a big focal point of this offense. If no Hood, if Rodney Hood can't go again, that's just more, you know, usage his way. So I think Ricky Rubio is a fantastic mid-range option in this matchup. And if Phoenix can somehow keep it close, like, I think the ceiling is quite high for Ricky.
Yeah, I'm with you on both of those guys. I think Gobert is pretty much the nut center play, at least for cash games. And Rubio, for me, not a lot of point guards on this slate are going to offer you more tournament upside. I mean, this is a prime, you know, potential triple-double spot for him. So, yeah, love Rubio. Anybody that you're considering on the other side?
I mean, it's just such a tough matchup, but I mean, you have to go back to Devin Booker with no Bledsoe. I think even in the matchup, I think the upside's still there for him. The other guys are scary as hell. Obviously, if you want to play Mike James, you can probably do that. Warren, Chris, I'm a little bit less excited about those guys. I'm probably not going to attack either one of the centers. So really, Booker is my list, and that's just because he's going to have the ball a lot. You know, I mean, that's all there is to it. The matchup is just trash.
Yeah, I'm still passing on Booker to even as well.
Are you?
Like, typically when the guys play the Jazz, they'll get the little bump down in salary for the matchup. But Booker didn't really get that on DraftKings. If he was down at, like, the 6K range, I would say he's in play for me. But at 6,900, I think he's just got to do too much to hit value at that price tag, and he's not going to pay it off against the Jazz. Like, you know that he's a pretty weak guy in terms of peripherals. So it's like, can he score 25 to 30 real points against this team? And I just don't think that that's possible.
I mean, I just, I agree with you, what you say about the matchup, but last year when he was the only show in town, 6.9 would have been a steal for him, and nothing. I mean, the situation's very, very similar. I think there's, I don't necessarily know if he's like a cash game play for me at all, but I think that there's still GPP upside because he can, if things go well, obviously you're setting GPP lineups. This is like a perfect hypothetical scenario. So if things go well, he could easily drop 30 to 35 real points and a handful of whatever crap he throws into the mix. So I think he can pay off this for GPPs, but for cash games, there are probably much, much safer ways to go.
Okay, yeah, I can get behind him, I suppose, as a GPP play. It's going to come down to ownership, right? I mean, like, if people are talking about him as a play, I think I would definitely lean on fading him. But if I think he's going to be sub 10%, sure, I can get on board with him. All right, next game. It sounds like this might be your favorite game of the night. Wizards minus 6 at the Lakers. Highest total of the night so far at 231 points. Injury-wise, Jason Smith, questionable to make his return. Markieff Morris still out. So the Lakers have been the number one team in the league this year in terms of pace, even faster than Brooklyn. Who do we like for Washington?
Yes. Just throw a name out. It doesn't matter. Yeah, they're all in play for me. I don't even need to get long-winded as to why. It's the Lakers. It's a game that probably is going to stay competitive enough to get fourth quarter minutes. That's all you need to know. I mean, just pour it on full, Wizard stack if you want to. You throw run it back with some Lakers guys who are interesting. I don't necessarily love these guys, but this is where the chalk is. This game is where the chalk lives for good reason. So we're going to see quite a bit of, numerous combinations of these guys thrown into everything. So
yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I might be a little bit down on Wall just because, like, he is a clear step up in price from some of the other guys we've already mentioned. Like, he's 10-2, where you can get, Rubio at 76, you can get Kemba Walker at like 77. So and there's another guy in the next game we're going to talk about who's also a clear step down in price, but everybody else I'm interested in. My favorite play here is Otto Porter.
Yeah.
So he, we know he pours on the peripheral stats, right? Like, he's awesome with rebounds, steals, and even some assists and blocks from the small forward position. But this year, he's taking on a little bit of a larger role on the offensive end so far, at least. He's over 19% usage. Last year, he was only at 15.1%. So a pretty sizable spike here. He's sub 6K on DraftKings. He's had two straight games of at least 46.5 DraftKings points. Like, this guy is just, he's got to be mega chalk, but I think he's just in too good of a spot really to fade.
Yeah, you're definitely playing him, and it doesn't really matter the format. GPP, cash game, I don't care, but
yeah,
I mean, the kid's been unreal, to be perfectly honest with you. But just to throw this nugget out there for you, last year against the Lakers, John Wall, 13-3-14 with four steals, 33-3-11 with two steals and a block. It's pretty decent numbers against the Lakers.
Quite good.
That's not bad upside. I'm going to give it to him.
Excellent numbers.
So it's definitely an interesting spot for him, but the ownership percentage is going to be outrageous.
So you think, I just want to gauge you here. Throwing out ownership percentages, you prefer Wall to LeBron?
No.
Okay.
I do not. But I think ownership percentages will lean towards Wall. Just to get, okay, we live and breathe this shit. This is what we do all day.
Yeah.
Give the average person, our tournaments aren't filled with guys like us. It's sometimes it's just common players that like to, have fun. So what are they going to look at? It's John Wall, who's a big name, against the Lakers, who can't play defense. Like, that's just kind of how I look at these kind of things.
Yeah.
Maybe LeBron edges him out. I mean, it's going to be close, but I think John Wall is like, in cash games, he's going to be 50%+ owned. Maybe 40%+ owned is probably a better thing to say. And GPPs, he's going to easily be 25%. So,
right. On FanDuel, they'll probably have pretty astronomical combined ownership.
Like, oh, yeah, definitely. It's always easier to do that.
Top pairing, I would say, yeah, among the stud guys. On DK, where it's tougher to pair the dudes up, yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, both guys in great spots and have humongous upside. So it'll be interesting to see. I guess LeBron is technically going to be on the second leg of a back-to-back. So maybe that's one reason to nudge yourself in the Wall direction a little bit. But yeah, I think both of those guys, like, just just super safe cash game plays, and obviously huge tournament as well.
Yeah.
And don't want to leave out Bradley Beal. I think he's fine too. So
yeah, he's fine.
he's always you know, capable of going for 40 plus.
You cool with Oubre? Because I think he's actually a decent one of the. There's not a ton of value, like cheap value on this slate. So I think guys like that are interesting for me.
Oubre is going to depend for me on if Jason Smith is back.
Okay, I thought he was already ruled out. That's my bad.
I might actually lean Jason Smith of the two. But if he's in, Oubre's been playing sick minutes. He's been over 36 minutes in each of the last two games. So, yeah, for sure. In a great spot, I could definitely get behind Oubre.
I was under the impression that Jason Smith was out. I did not see the questionable tag. So that's actually good news because Jason Smith is super interesting as well.
Right. Just another guy to throw into the mix.
Yeah, for sure.
What about on the Lakers side? Your boy Lonzo's been pretty impressive. I want to say
Lonzo is like the ultimate pivot leverage play off of John Wall, like if I've ever seen one, but it's still scary as hell, and I don't necessarily know if I want to recommend that. I think if you're going to attack the Lakers, I might just go down to like Kuzma or some of the value plays, but Lonzo is so interesting for GPPs.
Yeah, I think Brook Lopez at 6K as well.
Yeah, I don't mind. The price is fantastic.
Great price tag. He got run absolutely out of the gym by the New Orleans big guys.
Shocker.
Not going to face the same problem against Gortat. So I think Lopez should get back to, you know, roughly 30 minutes. And at 6K, he should be able to pay that off pretty easily. So I like Lopez. I called Gobert the nut center play. Lopez for cash games might actually be the nut center play.
I don't know if I agree with that statement, but that's fine.
6K? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, give me Adams over Lopez.
I'll take that side bet.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Points per dollar?
Yeah, I mean, they're roughly the same salary, so yeah. I'm fine with that bet.
I was just trying to give you an out because he's cheaper, but that's fine.
Lopez is cheaper?
Oh, no, my bad. Adams is, what, $200 cheaper?
Yeah, I think Adams is $200 cheaper.
I got him mixed up, yeah. That's still fine.
All right, let's get to the last game of the night. We've got the Toronto Raptors at the Golden State Warriors. No spread at the moment due to the big DeMar DeRozan injury. He did not practice on Tuesday, officially questionable for this game with a thigh injury. Jonas Valanciunas in midseason form, already out with an ankle injury. And Lucas Nogueira also is questionable with an ankle injury. So pretty shorthanded Raptors team potentially here. How are we approaching this team if DeRozan does not suit up?
Lowry has played really, really good against the Warriors in the past. So Lowry is very interesting. Obviously, if no DeRozan, that boosts usage, that boosts shots attempts, that boosts everything for him. But if no DeRozan, I'd be scared as hell of this game. Like, I don't know if they can hang with no DeRozan. So that'll be interesting for me, but one of my favorite GPP plays might come into the mix if DeRozan doesn't play. Even if DeRozan does play, I really like DeLon Wright. He's been playing heavy minutes off the bench. He's the backup point guard right now. And you know, small ball team on the other side of the court. I think Wright could get 25-ish minutes, especially in a blowout. He might get more. That's really kind of like the interesting guys for me is Lowry and Wright. I know Ibaka is probably going to see the court for an extended period of time with all the injuries, but man, the matchup is just horrible for him, so I'm kind of scared of Ibaka.
Yeah, I can't talk myself out of Ibaka, though, at 5,400. I really can't. Like, I've been trying to do it because he's been dreadful this year, and he's only been playing, like, 25 minutes a night.
Look at the game logs. That's all you need to do to talk yourself out of it.
Yeah, it's brutal, but he actually had the highest usage on the team last year with DeRozan and Valanciunas both off the court. So if those guys play, I think he's the guy I'm looking for.
What was the sample size for Ibaka's numbers with no DeRozan and no Jovel on the court? What was the sample size on that one? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, you got me. It's 50. Like, it's like, 58 like, minutes.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Ibaka is just at this point in his career, Ibaka is one of those flash in the pan GPP plays. So I can't. I don't mean to call you out.
Yeah,
like
but
that,
that's perfect. But like, that's all I'm advocating for him as is a GPP play at 5,400.
Yeah, I mean he is like, that, but man, this is a shit matchup for him.
Like, not to crap on your boy DeLone Wright. Like, to me, DeLone Wright is never winning anyone a GPP because what's his ceiling capped at? Like 25 fantasy points?
I mean, I think he could get 30, and if he gets 30 at his price point, like you're doing really well for yourself.
Yeah, if he gets to 30, I suppose.
If Ibaka gets to 30, you're doing really well for yourself because you're a lucky piece of shit.
We don't need to get to name calling here, okay? But
I mean, it is what it is.
My thing is that if Ibaka plays 30 plus minutes, I think his ceiling is
22 closer to fantasy 40. Points.
All right, we'll end it there on Serge Ibaka. I will also throw CJ Miles' name into the mix as well.
I agree with that. Definitely. So
it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, obviously, a lot is going to come down to DeRozan, but like you said, I just feel like their best lineup here in a fast-paced game is going to be Ibaka at center, and then DeRozan and Norm Powell both on the court at the same time to go with Lowry and, I don't know, maybe Delone Wright, I guess. So,
well, I mean, that's, you know, that's what you got to look at is like, how are they going to run against Golden State, given the hypothetical scenario that this is a 5-point game with 5 minutes left? Like, who's closing for them?
Right.
And I think it's either CJ Miles or it's Wright. And I think that picking the right one out of those two can help you win some decent money. That's kind of,
I mean, theoretically, it could be both. Yeah. So
that is actually a very, very good point. So, I mean, it's an interesting game. I actually really like this game, but I think it's going to be tough. Given the teams, it's going to be tough to peg down who is going to, you know, after the game's over, we're going to look back and go, yeah, we were stupid for playing this guy, or yeah, we were smart for playing this guy. Like, it's going to be tough for me.
And just to add an exclamation point to your Lowry, 44 DK points per game, essentially, against the Warriors over the last three seasons. So
yeah, he's played really well against Steph. I don't know if it's one of those games, and Lowry has been so far this season. So I think it's one of those games that nobody's going to have him because he's been shit, and you know, he could have a breakout game in store for us.
Yeah, that tier of point guard is very intriguing. Like him, Rubio and Kemba, I think are all in really good spots and all have, like, you know, 6x plus upside at their current salaries. So
yeah,
I'm definitely in on all three of those guys.
Yeah.
All right, on the Warrior side, who do you like?
It's
tough, right? It's the same argument every time with this team. It's like,
it really is. I mean, I'm just going to sound like a broken record, but Durant's the safest, and Curry is kind of my second guy. I mean, obviously the other three, including Zaza in this game, because I think he's actually kind of interesting for the first quarter. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think Curry is too cheap right now, just given his upside that he can bring each and every night. Durant's just kind of the safe. Like, if you want to play a cash game guy from the Warriors, I think it's always going to be Durant for me. Draymond, he's going to play a lot of the five in this game, so there's definitely upside. And on FanDuel, where you get, 13 points per block or whatever it is, like, you know, I think his upside is quite immense. So I just have trouble pegging the Warriors. I really do. I have trouble picking the right guy most of the time.
Yeah, I will say Kyle Lowry, in terms of defensive real plus minus, one of the better point guards in the league last season. So I think that matchup-wise, Curry's got the short end of the straw, you know, of the guys on Golden State, but that doesn't even really matter for him, if we're being honest. So
no,
he can torch anybody at any time. He just had 50 against Mike Conley. Like, he can do it against anybody. So yeah, I love his price tag. And Durant, again, for me, I'm paying the extra $1,000 for LeBron like every single time. But that's why Durant's a great tournament play, because he should have significantly lower ownership and, you know, has equally as high of a ceiling.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think LeBron's definitely the better play, even when considering price. But, you know, sometimes you just need, like, oh, man, if I had an extra $1,000, you know, like, right, this lineup would be perfect. And that's when I do that. But that's why I say nobody's ever a lock. Like, if it improves my lineup, I'm doing it. But, yeah, no, I think Durant or LeBron is the clear-cut option over Durant, especially on this slate.
Correct. Agreed. Okay. I think that's going to do it. So I like last week we ended it with the favorite game stack. What's your favorite game stack here?
The easy way to go out here is the Washington LA game, but I'm going to say my favorite game stack is Houston Philadelphia.
Okay. I like that one as well too. I think this is the other chalky answer, but I think Cleveland and Brooklyn.
Okay.
I think that game could shoot out. I mean, we didn't really talk about a ton of guys on the Cleveland side, so maybe LeBron and Brooklyn is the more...
the Brooklyn stack running it back with LeBron?
Yes.
That's a super interesting way to build lineups, actually, because Brooklyn's going to be cheap.
Right, because you can get LeVert for like five, and then, you know, maybe you smash in Russell. Russell should have like no ownership on this slate.
Yeah, maybe some RHJ just for the hell of it. Like, I think it's an interesting stack for sure. It's actually a really good point.
Yeah, and then I think that the last game is intriguing if you think Toronto can keep it close. I think that's a really nice game stack potentially as well.
If that game stays close, I bet you we see at least two players from that game in a like a GPP winner. Like, it would make sense to me.
Yeah. I can get behind that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of On the Daily. For Vince, who you can find on Twitter at WakeWorkWake, I am Matt LaMarca, at Matt LaMarca. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to On the Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast powered by RotoViz Radio. And special thanks to Randy E. Aguabo for the introduction. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email onthedailydfs@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @onthedailydfs.